Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com. And also archiving the podcast, I guess that's what we'll call it, makes me think of some alien being coming down and landing here and then doing a radio show or something. Anyway, the podcasts are at the radio show's page of richarddugan.com, SoundCloud, iTunes, and we encourage you to go to all of three of those places to listen to the programs. And there is no guarantee that what you hear on the radio broadcast is all there is. Meaning that this interview could go longer than the radio broadcast. That means that there's what I like to call the afterview. That's right. It's the interview that's after the interview that's on the radio broadcast. We encourage you to go to either the website, richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, or SoundCloud or iTunes, and listen to the whole thing. And we encourage you to do just that. I find it interesting that as of this date, we have, I think it's 47 programs up on the SoundCloud and iTunes that are just for this year alone. Just for this year alone. And there are probably going to be 100, maybe 200 before this year is out. I'm working on getting the previous year's interviews up on SoundCloud. We're working on it, and we'll get there eventually, figure out how to put all that together. I'm very excited to have one of our guests returning to the program today, and we're going to be talking, I'm not sure, can I refer to you as Mrs. Doolittle?
Actually, probably not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
There is an animal communicator out there who calls herself the real Dr. Doolittle, so let's not step in that territory.
Let's not go there. But you do communicate with the animals of all shapes and sizes, species, whether they are in the air, on land, or in the water, I would assume. And you're able to communicate with them and glean or gather information from them that can help us both collectively as a species, being the human race, as well as individuals who may have creatures that are our family members, our dogs, our cats, our fish, whatever other domesticated or family members you might have. Or I'm wondering how much communication you have with animals in the wild.
Well, you know, I kind of like to distinguish between channeling and communication.
Okay, please.
Fortunately, people are really reclaiming their gifts right now across the globe, and there are so many people that realize, yes, we can all communicate with animals. And mm-hmm. So there's a growing number of animal communicators out there, and some discover that they have strong proclivities and talents for specific issues, let's say finding lost animals, or if you have too many rats or insects that have decided to hang out in your home. And what for me happened is similar to people that have had channeling experiences from spirit, meaning those on the other side, higher beings, where all of a sudden when it's time for them to come through, you just better get your pen, because it's not like communication where you have a back and forth and you've initiated a chat. They download you. It's like, okay, this is what needs to be shared. So that's the channeling portion that applies to everyone. Those are messages from animal consciousness. So we need both. You know, you need to understand what different species experience and their particular slant on things. Obviously, you want to know what your own pets are, want to share with you. And then there are the messages that apply to us all to help humanity move forward and be happier.
Well, you were with us back in March of this year, and of course, talking about We Walk Beside You, which is both a book and a wonderful little card series that is available. But you also now have a new work that's now available or is coming close to being available. Tell us about that work.
Well, it's not available yet because it does take a while. Basically, the animals are pretty smart, and they know that the way we're going to change our future world is to reach the children so they don't walk down the same path that we have walked down, where we're torturing ourselves between our left ear and our right ear, You know, the life of the mind creates some wonderful things and some very damaging things for us individuals. So this next book, actually it was initiated by my dog, who said, when are you going to talk to the kids? And when I put it out to the animals, yes, they started to come through with messages for young children, and then they started coming through with messages for mothers, which is turned out to be just so powerful and profound.
And when you say others, you're talking about other animals throughout the kingdom, as it were.
No, I'm talking about messages for human mothers.
Oh, really?
Because, as they say, you know, the institutions like our schools are slow to change. So the change happens, as we know, on the individual level, which means mother to child.
Yes.
You know, if you introduce animal wisdom to moms, maybe give them a couple of tools they might embrace so that their kids don't have to suffer the same way they did, because we didn't know any better.
Yeah. It's without a doubt, it's a frustrating time. I mean, you talk about things being passed down from mother to child. And I watch these wonderful little pieces on the news every once in a while, these great human interest stories about a child who received some incredible wisdom from parent, father or mother. And they were growing up in, shall we say, the dark side, okay? And they managed, with that piece of wisdom that was given to them, they managed to accomplish and achieve some incredible things, whether it was to go on through high school, on to college, four-year university, get their master's, their PhD, whatever it was, to do whatever it was that they felt their life's purpose was. So you're saying this information is actually coming initially from the animal kingdom to, am I correct, the path here to the mothers that is being...
Yes, it's information from the animals to the mothers, information from the animals to the children themselves. And you know what? We're all teachers and we're all students. So, I mean, I'm sure you've seen some of those incredible videos on Facebook where there's stuff coming out of these young children's mouths that just make you stand back in awe at their wisdom. And, you know, that's part of this too, nurturing that kind of soul that's, you know, starting to show up on our planet to move us forward. These kids that are just so way ahead spiritually. I'm not talking about 2 + 2. I'm talking about their inner wisdom, about what is wrong or what we need to do differently, whether it's, you know, animals, health, kindness, that kind of stuff. So, you know, the animals are all about nurturing our teachers.
I find it interesting too, Sandra, that this whole aspect of the animals being there for us is sort of along akin to some people's beliefs that there are other species in the universe that are kind of hovering around and they're waiting to be of assistance and guide us along, letting us know everything's okay, it's going to be fine. We don't really need them if they are really there. Okay, that's great. But we already have a cast of characters, if you will, if I may use that term, and I hope they don't mind. I have that same cast in my home. I've got two dogs and five cats, and we actually just had one pass away not too long ago. But he'd been with us. He was the last one that we brought with us from Phoenix. We actually rescued him from a dumpster in June when it was 110. He and his brother passed away several years ago. And we were surprised they lived as long as they did because of the terrible beginning that they had. But he was a feral cat. And we took him in. And he was, again, just a kitten at the time. And he became a little more feral, but he wasn't aggressive or vicious or anything, just very shy, right? But as he reached the end, he began to become closer, more connected to us. He actually spent time up on the bed with us at night, which was just surprising to beat all heck. And we were with him, you know, at the time of his passing. We had him with us as he was going through those growls that I remember the first time I heard that from a cat that was passing. I got a little concerned for my wife's safety because I thought the cat was going to pounce or lash out with the claws. But that was, we said, you know what? You can be whoever it is that you want to be with us. You know, as long as you come with us, we'll take care of you. We'll feed you. We'll water you. We'll give you a cat box, and we'll give you friends to play with. And then, if you want to stay shy and stay behind the overstuffed chair over there in the corner, that's okay. We'll make a nice little space for you. Put a little rug down, and we just accepted that. And at one point, my wife said, "Gee, I just don't feel the sadness that I did for our pride and joy, Merlin, who was a Mancoon, who passed away a year ago." And I said, well, the part of that is because we really didn't have a lot of connection with him because he was of that feral nature, but we still miss him. And I know the other cats do as well. What about bringing, I want to use the term rescues. I don't know. Sometimes that term, it's just like,
yeah. How about call them souls?
Yeah.
Here's why.
They just,
every single animal, just like every single human, is at a different place on their path, growing spiritually, learning lessons in different, I don't know what everybody's belief system is, but let's just say in different shells,
yeah.
You know. And so, you know, you can have one animal that responds very calmly to the most horrific circumstances, and another one that never recovers, you know, neurologically, for example,
yeah.
from abuse. So, to remember that as the overriding principle before you bring an animal home. You know, we all want them to act a certain way. You have brought a soul home, and how that soul handles its challenges is based on where they are on their path. And you can either, you know, fight it and be miserable or accept them and love them exactly as they are. It doesn't mean you shouldn't try to train your dog if, you know, you got to be out in society and the dog is going everywhere or it attacks. But just remember that the individuality, each unique soul, you know, is a principle that overrides everything.
Yeah.
And as well, species also have different perspectives. You know, when an animal shows up as a certain, you know, as a dog, you know, it's partnering with us. You know, our companion animals or partner with humans. They have a lot of compassion for us. When you're talking about a snake, that's a different soul experience. And the way the snakes, for example, come through, boy, do they tell it like it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot going on here that we need to keep in mind. But the worst thing is when people say, oh, I had two dogs of this breed and they lived 20 years. How come this one died at 15?
Yeah,
they're not machines, you know?
Yeah.
And
we've had some extraordinary experiences with all of our animals, but the most extraordinary is how long they live. We had a cat, a black cat, who was actually a dear friend of ours, and when he passed away, his family allowed us to adopt him. And his name was Amos, and he had another female black cat as his partner who had passed away some years earlier, whose name was Andy. And he lived to be, based upon our calculations, he lived to be 25.
Wow.
And Merlin, we believe, Mancoon, a Mancoon cat, he lived, I believe my wife was telling me, 15 or 16. And even Schmeagle, he's the one that just recently passed away, the feral cat, he was he had to have been at least 14 or 15 years old. I mean, they just have...
Here's the thing. If we don't get in the way and truly toxify them, and that is a whole nother show.
Yeah.
You know, environmentally, food, vaccines, you know, what we're... flea and tick, all that stuff. Then we really have to realize, and even when we do that, remember the soul has a path. You and I don't know how long we're going to live.
Yeah.
You know, and my dog has, you know, has even said, and I've asked many animals in the book, how do you know when it's time to die? You know, they do know. They may not know the exact time of their death. But my dog said, you know, we can prolong life if we haven't, you know, completed our mission. And I said, what's your mission? And he said, the completion of love, the closing of the circle. And then he said some stuff about my shifting or whatever. So, again, that's a companion animal partnering with us. Mm-hmm. He is an old soul. You know, he's really a wonderful teacher and very zen. People always remark about that. But if you have a dog that, quote, is just a dog, in other words, you know, doesn't shock you with their wisdom, that there's a purpose to that, you know, and you're helping each other on your paths regardless.
Yeah.
You will be learning things, and so will your animal.
Tell us a little bit more about this this new work, this new book that you have. Again, you don't have a title yet. It's still in the processing phase, and so we won't get into too many details. So how many pages is it, and what's the title, and when's it coming out? We don't care at this particular point, because what we're privileged to do is have you here on the program to talk about some of the stories within the context of the work that you're putting together that we hope will maybe be out sometime later this year as well. But tell us a little bit about this work, because it sounds, again, based upon the first work that we talked to you about back in March of 2018, having to do with We Walk Beside You. And I love that title. I mean, it's especially in the context of dogs, but even cats. My wife will get up out of bed and the dog will jump off the bed. Angus, who's the 100-pound King Shepherd, he'll get off the bed knowing she's going somewhere and he's got to follow her. But even three or four of the cats that are on the bed will follow her. She's like the Pied Piper or something, you know? But tell us a little bit about some of these stories within the context of this new work.
Sure. You know, the more pointed the question I ask, the more pointed the answer I get. And so here's something wonderful from a horse, because I was talking about, you know, what can we share with mothers so that kids know they can communicate with you? And here's what a horse named Kodak said. And stop me at any time. This is a pet project of mine. It always starts with the children. They have not been taught to have a complete foundation in the human world. Only the mind life is forced on them. Nature schools would be great, but we know institutions are slow to change. So it's always the parents who must open up to what is possible for their children, even if they never had such opportunities themselves. What is taught as, quote, made up, is what needs to be stressed as real. For example, that all animals and plants communicate. It comes back to the parents allowing and the children practicing. Some playtime must be reoriented away from technology and into the inner realms. The parents must ask the questions, what do you think this flower is saying? What do you feel our dog wants right now? And the children must be praised, whatever their answers are, because then they'll practice more, and that will make them really good at this. So that's just one perspective. You know, because, you know, if we want to cultivate kids that are intuitively connected, you know, stop making the same mistakes we've made in the last 3,000 years, where we went into the life of the mind and we lost our connection. So it's cultivating, yes, you can do this. You can hear it or feel messages or see images. That trusting, and the kids will know, I know this, and I didn't learn this from my mom or my teacher. It's in me.
Mm.
So that's just one channeling of what the animals want to share.
Well, and it, again, sounds to me an awful lot like they have so much to offer, so much to give and want to, and are really hoping, I would think, that we're listening. That we're listening to what they have to say, listening to our own intuition as well, which would be congruent with the messages that they're giving us. And I think the only way that that's going to come across to us is if we get out of our heads, because a lot of times what we do with that intuitive message we get within us is then we mentalize it.
Yep.
And we try to process it and try to figure out, okay, so how's that going to happen? What are going to be this? We try to structure it. And I remember hearing many, many years ago this wonderful phrase in regards to the process, in terms of the intuition. Stop trying to control the process and become a part of the process. And I found that quite profound. And some days it's easier than others, but I will say that in those times when I'm a part of the process, I'm in what, of course, in sports they call the zone, where there is no time, there's no space, you're just doing what you're doing, and you're having a blast doing it, and it doesn't matter if it took 5 minutes or 5 hours, the experience was just incredible.
I think if you read the work of Bruce Lipton, who is all about the power of the mind, and he's a cellular biologist that's now on the New Age circuit, proving that it's not our DNA, it's the cytoplasm of the cell that determines how the DNA shows up, and that cytoplasm is if the membrane is affected by thoughts and lifestyle, and that's where our choices come in.
Mm.
I think all of this is so intricately woven together, and the mind stuff is a big project.
Oh, yeah.
The human limitation, how we trip ourselves up, it's going to keep on coming up over and over again from the animals. They know you can't put the cart before the horse. As long as we keep getting stuck, and we, you know, untraining ourselves is a lifelong process.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you just get hit by lightning and you're fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and Bruce Lipton about choosing these positive thoughts and what it does to your body and how it affects those around you.
Yeah.
There's been so many scientific studies that have proven what these thoughts do. So, you know, number one message from the animal world, that's where our work is. That's where the healing starts.
Yeah. I know that even for myself, I'm not a fan of, for example, of horror films. I just don't want to sit and watch that stuff. I try not to tap into the news any more than I do now. I used to have 3 or 4 or 5 apps on my phone and my tablet that were news sources. And it was during the latter stages of the 2016 presidential campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And in February of 2017, I deleted them all. I removed, uninstalled all of them.
Great.
And now what I have is I have on my Google News, I'm tapped in more to Irish news. I'd rather hear about what's going on in Ireland. in spite of the fact that during the winter and spring of 2017-18, they were getting inundated by snowstorm after snowstorm after snowstorm, colder than all get out. I'd rather read about that than any of the other stuff that's going on here. I've always been a fairly optimistic person. I've only had animals in my life in the way that they are now for the past 20 years since I met my second wife. Now, my first wife did have guide dogs and we did have a cat. Actually, we had a couple of cats. But it wasn't quite the same in that respect as it is today. These animals that are in our lives today, and even the ones that we had some time ago that have since disappeared, unfortunately, we used to have a flock of wild turkeys on the property where we live. Mm. And we used to go out and sit on the stoop, and they would come around and we'd toss food at them and so forth. And most of them were females. There were a few males. And what was fascinating was there were 5 males. 4 of the males, whenever they would preen, you could see there were feathers missing from their tail. With one exception, the 5th one, he was the largest of the males. And when he would preen, there wasn't, not only was there not one feather missing, there wasn't one feather out of place.
Ooh.
And we called him Big Daddy.
And what a perfect example of how unique they all are.
Oh, just incredible. And we loved having them around. you know, it's sad that they're not around anymore, at least not where we're living. We haven't seen them in a long, long time. And our concerns are that they became dinner for somebody.
Oh, but, don't go there. It's too depressing. But if you want to see a really cool video, you can look it up on, I guess it's YouTube or Facebook. Wild turkeys walking in a circle, and in the middle of the circle is a dead cat. And they are mourning, not mourning, they are honoring this cat because apparently this cat was their friend.
Oh, wow.
And played with them. And this came from an animal communicator friend of mine named Jeannie Helton Voss. And
wow.
She did a beautiful challenge because everybody kept saying, what is this ritual? What is going on?
Yeah.
And you could, you know, you don't even have to know what's going on to see, wait a minute, there's a dead cat in the middle and these birds are walking in a circle around it. It looks like an honor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, when we had both Merlin as well as Schmeagle pass, I placed each of them in a box that was lined with a towel and what have you, bedding. And I put them up on the dining room table for, I don't know, maybe 24 hours or less to allow the other cats to come and pay their respects, if you will.
Wow.
And that's why when it's time for one of the animals to go and we have to bring someone in to facilitate their transition, that's what we will do. We will not take an animal out of the home to have this done. Because the other animals have no clue as to what, all of a sudden they just disappeared. Where'd they go? Where are they? What happened? We had this happen with one of our Siberian Huskies, the last of the pack of four. I've never seen an animal mourn. We actually had to put him on Prozac. I kid you not. He was that distraught. And that's when my other dog, Makushla, came into the picture. Mm-hmm. And as soon as she came in, he calmed right down because at least now he had a partner and so forth. And she cared for him and looked after him until his passing. So, you know, it's just amazing the roles that these creatures play in our lives.
Yeah. Yep. That, and with each other.
And with each other. That we, mm-hmm. we flat out overlook. We just don't see it. And I have to tell you, I'm trying to keep my eyes wide open with what's happening in our home with our animals to that degree. Okay, what is it that they're, what are they doing? I mean, that's the other thing too. You talked about this before about, you can train a dog, but, you know, our job is not to get them to behave in a particular way. Ours is to figure out why they're behaving in the way that they are. I think it was in our last program, I made reference to the fact that Angus, who is 5.5 years old, every once in a while when he gets, and I know this, when he gets frustrated, he spins. He chases his tail. Sometimes he even catches his tail and spins.
They do the same thing.
Yeah. Yes, we do, don't we? and so what I've done, and I actually took your advice to heart, now when he does that, I do everything I can to refocus his attention. If that means calling him and saying, "Cookie, you want a cookie?" And sometimes he'll stop spinning and he'll come up the ramp and steps and into the house. And I'll give him a cookie, obviously. But I picked up on that. That, as a matter of fact, I remember when he first started doing it, maybe at the age of 1.5 or 2, and my wife was really concerned. Oh my God, he's got some neurological problem or this. And of course, started doing some research, and then I found that no, it's because they're frustrated, because they're not getting what they want, and what they want usually is nothing onerous or it's not a big deal. They just maybe want to be played with. And in his case, he likes chasing the tennis balls. Mm-hmm. So I'll go out and throw the tennis balls. It solves that problem, you know? Gives him what he wants. He calms down, you know? He's having a good time. He is. That's his work. That's his job.
There you go.
Although somebody told me, actually, that's not his job. His job is not to chase the tennis balls. His job is to get you out there to exercise with him. That's his job.
That's true. That is true. And show you how to enjoy life.
Yeah.
Because joy, as the hippo said to me, is the missing piece. And I mean, I catch myself also, anybody that's, you know, committed to something, being human, right? It's so easy to forget that is the key ingredient. Dalai Lama says it all the time. Purpose of life is to be happy.
Yeah.
So catching ourselves and saying, okay, wait a minute. Is this really what I'm doing at this moment? Is this really necessary? And is it making me happy? And it's usually my thoughts. And what am I going to do about it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. smendelson.com is the website. We're talking with Sandra Mendelson, and she has the work that we talked about in our last program. We walk beside you, and we're going to continue our conversation here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay tuned, won't you please?
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. I'm here with Sandra Mendelson. smendelson.com is the website, and a new work that'll be coming out, we hope, fairly soon. And we're talking about it right now because it's quite apropos. And, you know, it's interesting, too, how a lot of folks here on the south central coast of Santa Barbara, in Santa Barbara and all the communities up and down the mountain range on both sides, sometimes people, they get a little freaked out when they hear about this wild animal or that wild animal that's in the neighborhood. Not so much down in the city, but up in the front country, up in the hills, and even up in the mountains. We've had, as I mentioned before, the wild turkeys. We've had a bear. We've had skunks because you can smell them. We've had a myriad of different animals. I think someone even said they saw a bobcat or what have you in the area. Most of the time, these creatures, they're looking for food because the area where they were living, maybe it was burned out because of a fire, or their territory was encroached upon by man in his need for eminent domain and to continue to expand. And that's kind of sad in a way because they're forced out of their, shall we say, their natural habitat. And I acknowledge that where I live, Sandra, is their territory. And quite honestly, I guess it doesn't matter what city. It could be New York City, could be Phoenix, could be Toledo, Ohio. That land used to belong to the animals.
Yes, it did. And when we consider them pests,
oh,
I mean, you know, try to live harmoniously. Protect your own animals if you know you've got bobcats and coyotes, you know. Sometimes people hire animal communicators, you know, to if they can't tap into the animals and ask them to please leave, you know. But again, striving for harmony as opposed to our knee-jerk reactions, kill them. I'm hoping that it's starting to shift in a lot of people. You know, carry a bug outside. Don't just kill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my wife gets rather perturbed with coworkers where she works who will find a spider or something and their first inclination is to smash it.
You got it.
And she'll grab a cup and she'll scoop it up and and it may take 5 minutes for her to go down three flights and, you know, put it out in the little garden box or what have you. But that's what she does. And I know that there's this theory, they call it the butterfly effect, where if you were to go back in time and make even just the most minuscule of changes, like killing a butterfly, could change the entire future of history of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just don't know the impact that would have if, in fact, we could even travel back in time, you know. but you, first of all, I wouldn't want to do it because you can't go back and change anything.
No,
you know, because it would change who you are today. It's like that saying of, you know, do you have any regrets? Well, yeah, I regret this, that, and the other thing, which leads you to think, well, then you'd like to change that, wouldn't you? But you can't because
and then the, you know, what about the perspective that everything is in its place?
Yeah,
for us, that's what the animals say, for us to learn lessons.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's frustrating, if it's agony, if it's sorrow, loss, destruction, these are all things we have to live through, if not in this lifetime, then in another time. You know, so we have to let go. We keep thinking we can control it. Another thing the animals say, we are not driving the bus in that regard. There's a lot of stuff we can determine, we can fashion, but there's a whole bunch of stuff we can't. So we might as well stop fighting so hard.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that point. Are there messages, certain types of messages that come from certain species, certain messages coming from horses that wouldn't necessarily come from dogs, cats, rats, elephants, etc.? Or is it across the board? There is no differentiation from that standpoint in terms of, say, categories of information.
There are definite differences. Again, I go back to that unique soul concept. So, you know, I did have a chimpanzee that sounded like a bitter 90-year-old man, you know, but that was that, you know, the old vibrational thinking. It's too late. There's going to be, you know, Armageddon, you know, that kind of thinking. Mankind has destroyed the planet. It's going to be darkness, you know, and then immediately horses came in and said, you know, that's the old vibration. Yes. There is change, but it's going to be like weeding. You know what I mean? It's not like we're going to have you know, like this mass destruction across our planet, and there will be darkness for 18 days. And again, I'm only sharing what I heard. I am not the voice of all answers or the voice of all species. You know, I just share what I hear.
Right.
So, yes, there is. Here's the thing. You've got a unique soul that is also connected to the mission of its species. So it has to learn its own lessons. And it also has to experience life as a snake, as a horse. Horses are very ethereal. Again, there are horses that are just going to stare at you because you treat it like a piece of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So as the horse said to me, treat us like furniture, we'll show you only wood. Right? So think about the question is, you know, their experiences are so different. You know, a horse that lives out back, behind your house, and can run around and has its family with it, has a whole different experience than a racehorse or a horse that lives in a show barn with no turnout. You know, and it's all about primping and, you know, what are you doing for humans? They're in service, so they're all learning different lessons, and they're going to sound different. They're going to show up with different perspectives.
Yeah.
So I hope that answers the question. Yes, there's the species. You know, that they have to share that species perspective with us. And they also have their individual experience to share with us, whatever level they're at.
Now, my wife shared with me an experience she had with a horse when she was a child. And I interpreted this as, the horse is just playing. Where the horse would walk under a branch that was low enough that basically scraped her off his back. And he would do this over and over again.
Oh, boy.
And she kept getting on, and he kept doing it over and over again. And I'm going, nah, that horse is playing. There's nothing wrong.
Oh, no, 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 no. That horse is trying to get through to her. So it could have been the way she was riding. Uh-huh. It could have been what was going on in her mind, because they're always pointing us like, I'm going to nix you off my back because you are not here now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. They get through to us in the most incredible ways. My dog will just stop. And I'm like, okay, he's going to sniff. No, if I'm walking and my head is blah, 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 he just stops dead. And you can't get him to move. I'm like, okay. And I fight him sometimes that way. But that, I mean, how are they going to get through to us? They have to do it with body language. They have to do it in sometimes very subtle ways. Sometimes they knock you off their back.
Yep. Yeah, I thought that was kind of a funny story. And of course, she also had chickens. She had these Banty chickens that apparently she must have had a rooster too, because it was perturbing to no end to her family, her parents in particular, that the flock continued to grow. Yeah. We have 5 chickens of our own now, present day. And, you know, and we get maybe a dozen and a half to 2 dozen eggs a week from these 5 hens. But she'll go out and she'll sit with them. The way I designed the chicken run and the coop, I was able to put a bench in the run where she can go inside and sit. And in true Santa Barbara fashion, with her glass of wine, and some of them will jump up on her knee and she'll cuddle them and say hello and talk with them. To the point where, and I know that there is probably a scientific measurement that the chickens know when it's time to go into the coop to go to sleep. 4 out of 5 of them will do it, but the 5th one, whose name is Luna, continues to stay with her, will not go in the hen house. So where she almost has to, as it's getting darker and darker, she's got to pick her up and put her in the coop, because we secure it. We close it up and lock it to protect them from predators overnight. And then around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll go out there, open it up. There's the feed. They're free to run around the run and so forth. And it's just really an interesting, she says, you know what? I'll bet you that if we brought her inside, she'd sleep with us on the bed. And I said, yeah, well, that might be true, but it's going to smell pretty bad. But these kinds of connections that some folks are making with animals, you're experiencing that with other folks that are starting to connect more, and maybe even listening to them in their own way, maybe not getting quite the detailed messages you are, but when they're with them, they're impacted by them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, again, these animals are partnering with us so we can wake up to, among other reasons, our own innate abilities. And so when people get quiet and spend enough time with their animals in real time, fully present, trusting what they get, and the more you do it, the easier it gets, the more you, you know, you're not in doubt, which is the cardinal sin,
mm-hmm.
You know, they start seeing patterns, you know, and again, whether they have to get comfortable with their own methods of receiving, whether they, you know, feel something in their body or just have that sense of instant knowing, paracognition, which is probably the most popular.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, you know, or they may, sometimes they can hold an object and get images, you know, and it goes on from there. So, you know, this is at least 8 different ways that we humans can receive information through our sixth sense.
Mm.
So yes, people are, you know, and so many books are coming out, you know, writing about their connection with the dog and what they learned, or the cat, and yeah.
Yeah. I know that I have kind of been around the circle a number of times in the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 months with my dog. And I'm just, you know, it's like I feel as though there are certain things that I know I need to do, but it's almost as if, okay, we're not quite there yet. We're getting close, but we're not quite there. And so I have basically said, you know what? I'm going to take the position that I'm going to care for this animal the best I can, push aside my frustrations, and realize that she's here for a reason, and I'm doing my best to listen. And when she wants me, I'll go sit on the floor with her and hold her and pet her and just do whatever she needs to have done. Because as I think I told you in the last program, I know that there are 4 basic reasons why she might be fussing. One is because she's hungry. One is because she's thirsty. One is because she needs to be cleaned up, or she needs attention, and she's in need of some attention right now. Just being there. And I think that's something else too, that we don't seem to understand. It's like with my wife, with the chickens, she just sits there and lets them do what they're going to do. Now she actually let one of them jump up on her head, and she had to grab them fairly quickly before they got too entrenched in her hair. But, do you find that people are, as you say, more books are coming out, more stories are coming out, where people are sometimes just sitting with, just being with their animals?
That's where it all begins. We have to slow down. And that is another major, major message from the animal kingdom. Stop running so fast. You know, we cannot reclaim what we've lost in terms of connecting with all of life if we're running 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So there, you have to make some time each day, if you can, just to be. And it's really hard. We get so obsessed with our to-do lists, and, oh, I can't disappoint. You know what? And then life is over. And this is work. Trust me. It's hard. It takes work to program yourself out of these ritualistic, insane behaviors.
Yeah.
Go, go, go. Do, do, do. I'm a human doing. No, human being. You are a human being. So just go sit on the grass with your dog. Just take some time to stop.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that today. I'm somewhere in that insane schedule. It's like, okay. And you'll notice your heart rate slows and your breathing slows. And from that place, with no expectation and no agenda, that takes work for a lot of us too, because we're used to striving and making something happen. This is about receiving. We don't have a lot of experience with that as humans. So if you see what needs to fall into place in order to really start getting what your animals are communicating, it all starts with slowing down, letting go, and allowing.
Mm.
Takes practice.
You're absolutely right. It does. And we have to start somewhere. Do you have, maybe you've already mentioned it. Maybe there is no more to say. There are no other steps, but are there steps that, if let's say we don't have animals in our lives, is it going to be enough to, I'll go to the zoo and I'll spend time with the monkeys. is there a place where one can start who maybe doesn't have these wonderful creatures in their lives?
No one's ever asked me that question before. You can start with wild animals. Start with the squirrels in your neighborhood. And that means you're building trust. If you start feeding them, and not every day because you don't want them to be dependent on you, and that one of the safest things, if you don't get squirrel feed, which could be genetically modified,
be careful.
Is almonds, because they have calcium and they don't cause the squirrels to develop metabolic bone disease, which can happen from too many other kinds of nuts because they have no calcium and it's just acidic. So start feeding small amounts. And watch, you're building a relationship where they start to trust you. And you can do this squirrel, again, when you follow the steps in my blog post about starting to connect with animals, because how they start to trust you is all about your thoughts and your energy. So you need to come down. That's where you begin. When you're in your heart space, when you're calm, when your mind isn't racing. So that's why people start with meditation or just sitting outside and breathing and not thinking. The animals, that's just one option of connecting with the animals near you. And then when you see a squirrel that doesn't immediately run away, with your mind, not your mouth, you can try the squirrel experiment and say, good morning or good afternoon. It's lovely to see you. I hope you have a beautiful day. And watch how they respond, because they heard you. But again, it isn't going to happen in 2 seconds. It's not going to happen when you're racing like a whirling dervish. The work is on humans letting go and being with their butt on the ground, working on calming down wherever you do that. I would not suggest trying to connect at a rescue or a zoo. Because these animals are dealing with a lot. And, again, human expectation. I think it's important to just connect with whatever animals are near you. It's tougher if you live in the city. There's no question.
Yeah. However, most cases, there are usually birds in the trees. We had a great experience with blue jays when we moved to the property where we've been living for 12 years. Where they would actually land on your finger. They would just sit there.
Wow.
It was so extraordinary to have, basically, it's a wild blue jay. And my wife, every morning, we bought these, I don't know, 25 or 50 pound bag of peanuts. And she takes a handful and she puts them out on the birdhouse that we placed on top of a vertical log, if you will, and sunk into the ground so that they have a place to sit. And she puts the peanuts there and they'll come flying in there. I'll grab them and they go off into the trees. But she does that every day when we leave for work. And a matter of fact, they have, in a manner of speaking, sort of, I guess, come to dependent, because we'll hear them on a Saturday or Sunday morning when we're not leaving. We hear them chirping around the front door. Hey, where are our peanuts? So, yes, there is a danger of sorts. But to have these creatures, and again, another aspect of this, Sandra, is you do this connecting with zero expectation.
Exactly. That's like giving.
Yeah.
Whether you're feeding them, getting into your heart and just admiring them and noticing, just watching them, being grateful that they're there shifts you energetically, and they feel that.
Yeah.
They haven't given up on us because they hear our thought stream and they hear all the people that want them to be happy and healthy in the wild or, with them in a partnership. So remembering that is critical. and, you know, getting into that ah phase, and you'll see they start to come around you. They really do.
Is there, I know this is going to be very difficult to answer because of your experiences with the animals. Is there one profound experience that you've had with a particular animal, whether it be the communication or just literally the connection?
You mean a face-to-face?
Yeah.
Experience. You mean a 3D experience?
Yeah.
Or a telepathic experience?
You can incorporate one into the other if you'd like, but specifically, let's do the 3D experience and maybe even tie in maybe a telepathic experience, maybe one of each.
Well, again, I'm just the first thing that comes to mind. I mean, there have been, oh my. There was one that happened that was very heartbreaking. I have not posted it because I won't.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking through a natural area, and they do spray herbicide. Hello, that is Roundup.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the manpower to pull the weeds.
Yeah.
And the powers that be are obsessed about non-native plants. And we have to get rid of the non-native plants or we won't have food for the birds. Okay. I'm walking my dog quickly, and I see something out of the corner of my eye, and it's a monarch butterfly on the ground. And I crouch down about 4 feet away, and it waddles over to me, all frenetic. And then I put my hands out like to do Reiki, and it comes under my hands and gets very still and just rests there. And that's when I heard, you have to speak for us. What they are spraying is killing us, not when we're butterflies because they drink nectar, but when they are in the caterpillar, the larva stage, if they eat the green, the grass, the weeds, whatever, they die. And this was so excruciating because, of course, I called, and it's like me against the establishment, and you're getting nowhere.
Yeah.
And those are the situations I try not to share because then people feel helpless.
Yeah.
We have to focus on the things we can shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you picking up trash? Are you spraying toxic pesticide all over the place? You know, or are you living more in harmony with the planet? And it goes on from there. So, I mean, that was a 3D experience that then went telepathic. You know, I think I'm trying to sum up, you know, what's in the book and what will come next. I mean, I literally had a horse say to me, you know, we knew you had to come out with the book to prove to yourself that it could be done. But, you know, now your role is going to be behind the scenes. This is what he said to me, helping to raise consciousness. He said, you have to check in with your ego and see if you're up to the task. But if you partner with us, we will show you what you never dreamed of. Now, that's dangling out there as a carrot. But that means no more people-pleasing. Do you see what I mean? Like,
You're
in the human vibration versus you've got to pull away and just really go in and become like them. And they've told me that. So I'm still kind of, you know what I mean? I'm trying to share things with people. So I have just so much. But to go dive really deep, that's not going to be a public thing until it's done. I said, can I share this stuff with other people? They said, yes, but first you have to become it. And I'm not it yet.
Mm. Makes me think, I was doing an interview with a woman. We were talking about sound and vibration, specifically in the human voice. And she's got this piece of software that can analyze a person's voice from a 30-second audio clip. She told me, she says, you're one of those people, and I actually think you are as well, Sandra. She says, you're one of those people who speaks logically about things that can really piss people off, but that it's not that you're right, but that the logic makes sense, and it makes it very difficult for people to ignore what you're saying, but you say it anyway, in spite of what the reaction might be. And I have a feeling that that's kind of what you're doing as well, because this stuff does have to be said. These kinds of things need to be addressed. It's getting to the point where, and I'm going to share this, I've shared this before in the program, where I hear people talking on and on and on about how certain segments of our population, how the science regarding climate change is flawed. It's junk. It's fake, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, okay, let's set aside the science. Let's set aside the whole issue of climate change. You don't think that we should be doing the things that people who believe in the science say we should be doing. So then I'm going to come over to your house. I'm coming into your living room. And you know that corner over there where that lamp is? I'm going to squat and leave you a little gift because it doesn't matter. You're telling me that it doesn't matter. Why are you cleaning your house? Why do you dust? Why do you wash your clothes? Why do you do the dishes? Why do you mow the lawn, et cetera, if it doesn't matter? It does matter.
Not only that, here's another thing. People yes. care about themselves. And when you watch the way people wake up, mm-hmm. it's fascinating how often it starts with taking better care of themselves.
Yeah.
As the blue whale said to me, if they had one wish, it would be for humans to be kinder to themselves. Think
oh,
of
yes.
how good you feel, the blue whale's words, when you treat your body with love. When you start eating healthier, when you take care of you, then, first of all, you feel better, true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a natural process to tune out and say, oh, wow, is that healthy for the animals and the plants and our air? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's always good.
Mm-hmm.
When you see people that are, like, just go in a gas station, and they come in and they just load up on beer and cigarettes and soda.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think these people are worried about climate change?
No.
So the change has to start with the openings,
mm-hmm.
those mind openings, the animals call them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they understand you have to care for yourself first.
Yeah, there's a great commercial I saw regarding caring for the animals that where this is, and I don't know the difference between a great white or whales, the different types, but it's a great commercial where this one whale has this band that's he managed to get around himself. That something was tossed in the ocean and he swam through it and it got stuck on him. And here are these guys in scuba gear who are cutting this thing away and they finally remove it. And he swims off quietly and gently. And you think, wow, you know, he actually stood still long enough or floated still long enough for them to remove this encumbrance from his body. And literally, it was wrapped around him and it got stuck in the front of his fins. And I thought, wow, you know, and I've seen more and more of these kinds of things. My wife on Facebook, those are the only kinds of things she likes to follow and watch are videos of animals taking care of animals of different species. That has always fascinated me.
And showing their gratitude for the humans that have saved them, including that's what the whale said to me.
Yeah.
That they know there are such beautiful humans who disentangle them when their signals have become jammed and they end up on land or they end up in, you know, pollution and nets and stuff.
Yeah.
And that is why we try to show them our gratitude.
Yeah.
And so there are these beautiful encounters with
oh.
whales because the whales are so grateful for those.
Yeah. There's one, too, where this, I guess it's a mare, has two colts, and one of them is with her on the other side of what they call a K-rail, which is the rail that goes along the side of a highway so that people don't drive off and into a ditch or something. But the other one is on the roadway, and this guy drives up. He sees this small little pony, and he actually is able to pick it up and help it to get back over the K-rail, and he runs off with Mama, and she just kind of looks and goes, thank you very much, and then they go off and do their thing. Again, these acts of kindness towards the different species that are on the planet. And again, what we talked about earlier, not killing the spider. Go ahead and move it. If it bothers you that much, don't kill it. Move it.
And you know what? Or get a pocket guide to spirit animals by
yeah.
Dr. Stephen Farmer.
Ooh.
Because they don't show up by accident.
And
no, the message
don't.
From the spider is beautiful. And
yeah.
it's all about us. You know, if a bird flies over your head, it's by choice, not an accident.
Yeah.
So when you start tuning into that, you know, all of a sudden, of course, you're not going to want to kill it. And
no.
you're going to go, look at that. I had no idea that a spider could represent that symbolically for my life.
I had a squirrel run across my path as I'm driving down the 154. And my wife saw it, and I just managed to glimpse it as it's on the far left side of the road, as we're on the right side. And I managed to slow down enough to where it darted across, and it was fine. And I said, okay, Google, why, you know, what is the meaning of a squirrel crossing your path? And she said, oh, I already know what that is. And she shared that with me. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they don't do this for no reason at all. They're in our lives. They come into, mm-hmm. just like human beings. We talk on this program with a wide variety of people about the human on human connection and that there are reasons why certain people come into your lives. I love what James Redford in his Celestine Prophecy talks about, how we all have messages for one another. Mm-hmm. And we need to share those. Well, the animals are doing the same thing, right?
Exactly
the same thing. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. I want to thank you so much for sharing with us here on the program, especially, and coming back again to do that. This is just, it's great fun, and it's also inspiring and educational, if you will. And we certainly hope that people will begin the process of waking up and understanding our role and the necessity of us doing what we can for the planet, for the species, the other species that share this world with us. That's exactly the case. And again, thank you so much. And I encourage people to go to smendelson.com. Will be linked to this interview. Will also have a link to her website as well as the previous one that's back in March of 2018. And it's also going to be available on SoundCloud and iTunes. And again, we do appreciate it. And again, that same invitation, if you're in the area, you know, we'd love to have you in studio and talk more about this.
Well, I thank you, and I'm still planning on getting out there. But just again, for people that don't know, you know, the book is We Walk Beside You, Animal Messages for an Awakening World. It is available on Amazon. And, you know, it constantly surprises me what's in there. It may have come through my pen,
yeah,
but it is them. And I'm still in shock about how much they know and how funny the squirrels are. And they're so close to our lives. They even sometimes take names. So what's in there, I think, you know, everybody that has read it just says it's really uplifting. They really enjoyed it. You know, it's not a painful read. But it's definitely eye-opening because none of us know this. And it's very heartening to find it out.
Well, absolutely it is. And I encourage people to do just that and go to your website and go to your blog and so forth. And, you know, if you're on Facebook, folks, and I'm sure that you, Sandra, are on Facebook as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
But also, it's like I said, my wife, she doesn't tap into the news feeds or anything of that nature. She taps into those feeds where, you know, as I said, they're showing those videos of incredible positive animal experiences where animals are interacting with one another. That's probably one of the most extraordinary things that I have ever seen time and time and time again is one species is caring for and being compassionate to another, yet in the mind of man, wait a minute, aren't those adversaries?
Right, or they say, "Oh, it's only happening because the animal is pregnant, and all the oxytocin is running through her system." Well, they also have a lot of films of a male lion taking care of a baby deer.
Yeah,
and I brought that up in my conversations with a lion, and it is again back to the unique soul thing because some are very evolved and some would not do that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Just like us humans.
Yeah.
And so you still have a very optimistic view of mankind's future?
I do, because the animals do. And because so many people that have the kind of conversations you and I have had are everywhere I go. You know, you set that intention, watch. We are all coming out of the woodwork. The change is happening at the individual level. Don't focus on what's going on at the government level that you cannot affect.
Yeah.
Focus on every second of your life, how you treat people, how you treat animals and your environment. And guess what? You got millions of people doing that. Watch the way things change. That's what you focus on, and it makes you feel much better.
Oh, absolutely.
You reclaim your power.
Unlike some of the, there was one television program that came out, apparently it was short-lived, about how somebody had genetically mutated animals and they began turning on humans to basically
eradicate. Like Stephen King kind of a thing.
Exactly. And I'm going, okay, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah, I know. There's books like James Patterson also wrote one about, you know, animals taking over the world. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They are our teachers, not our attackers.
Some would say, well, on the one hand, I think the animals would be justified if they did it. Well, maybe so, but it's not going to happen. Sandra Mendelson, thank you again. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you back on the program again in the near future.
Thank you so much, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I encourage you to go to smendelson.com and check out Sandra's work, as well as the new work that will be coming out in the not-too-distant future. We'll try to keep you apprised of that as well, and the title of that particular work. But she also has a blog as well, so go there and check it out. Until next time, love, Talal.